I'm going to share some scriptures, and I'm also going to share something I didn't do on Sunday because the service went the way it did, but I want to make you very aware that somebody named Satan is not as powerful as God is. Satan is a fallen angel. He's not a God. Let me try that again. He's a fallen angel, not a God. So if he's a fallen angel, who created him? Well, thank you very much. So listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Fair enough? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? You know that. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Greek rendering of it really goes this way. You have been made into a person that has never been seen before. You understand that now? Yeah, you're totally changed. A new being. Listen to this, the Adams translation. Brand new things have come into being. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he's a new being, a being, brand new being. Amen. His old life has passed away and a new life has begun. Isn't that good news? When I was talking to the Pakistanis in their country and I went through the scriptures and I said that you are a brand new person. You are brand new. And some of them, you know, they look at their face, look very, very puzzled. But I said, Jesus Christ loves you. His arms are outspread for you. He cares about you. And you could see their faces that they've never heard anybody talk like that. But you and I are brand new beings. Turn to your neighbor and say, brand new. Brand new. Hallelujah, glory to God. Therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ. Engrafted into Christ. Have you ever seen somebody put a branch on an existing plant or tree and they take care of it? What? It's engrafted and begins to what? Grow. Wow, listen. In Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual conditions have passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. If anyone is united to Christ, there is a new world. The old order has gone, and the new order has begun, all brand new. Glory to God. Amen. Give me a couple more scriptures, then I want to share this little thought about the Satan, some of his attributes, all right? 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, that man is Christ Jesus. He is the mediator. Why? Because he gave his life for you and I. Amen. Glory to God. Here's another one for it. Therefore, he is able to save those to the uttermost that come into God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for you and I right now. We have intercessors in churches all over the place, but there's one intercessor, and that intercessor is Jesus Christ. From the day he went to heaven, is interceding for you and I. Say he does. Does he get a vacation? Does he work a third shift, first shift? He doesn't have a shift. See, sometimes understand this, and if we get this right, it would help us a lot. God is not in time. You understand that now? When the Bible says what a day is, 1,000 years, and a day, you know what he's saying? He can't measure himself by time. When we look at the scriptures and it says there's no sin consciousness anymore to Hebrews, all right? But when some people say, well, I don't get it, you know, I still feel this and that, we are pushing faith aside and we're jumping into time. You can negate faith by stepping into time. Abraham didn't do it. What did he say? He did not consider. If he considered his age, then he would have stepped into time. But what did he do? He did not. What did he consider? What God had told him. Remember God changed his name from Abram to Abraham? Did he have any kids? But yes, he did. Faith says you have them. See? Because where do we go right away? Time. Well, he's too old. No, he's not too old. Because God doesn't have the word old in his vocabulary. Hebrews 8:6. But now having obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. When the Bible says we have promises that are what? Yea and amen. What does that mean? We have them by God, and what? By amen means what? So be it. But as soon as we begin to talk about faith based on time, then faith becomes weak and disappears. You've got, if you're going to be a believer from what the Word of God says we are, we've got to take time and push it aside. See, there's a choice. We push faith aside or we push time aside. The two cannot coexist. Can light and darkness coexist? Faith and time do not coexist. I hope I'm challenging you by this. How many of us have ever used time as the yardstick for where God wants us to do and go? Okay, when we do that, we negate faith, and if we're negating faith, we negate God. This church wouldn't be here if I stayed in time. No money, not a lot of people, and God did the miracle. Paulie and I were out outside fixing a gate, out of a fence and something else we're doing, and I said, son, look, we're standing in the middle of 18 acres. I said, somebody's going to walk up there someday and want to buy this parcel of land because it's running out in Clifton Park. What would you do, Dad? Same thing I always do, pray and ask. Well, what if they ask you like 4 or 5 million? Money's not the point. You don't need money. What do you need? You need an answer from God. We're in prime real estate when there was no exit. God gave us land where there was no exit. Guess what happened to the price of it when they put an exit in? I didn't know that. God knew it. Now, if I went by time, that wouldn't have taken place. We extended ourselves by faith. Well, how do you know, Pastor? If you stay in faith long enough, you'll know. But you've got to stay in faith and not vacillate, I'm talking about me too, from time to faith. They do not coexist. They do not coexist. The Bible says at the time appointed, God gave us Jesus Christ. Why did he pick that personal time? Because he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. That Garden of Eden was a beautiful place. Can I say it, Pastor Paulism? Okay. I believe God's plan was to have other Gardens of Eden all over the planet. But what happened? Listen now. Another voice showed up in the garden. And what happened? Sin came in. You and I were never meant to die. We were meant to live forever. But God had already placed Jesus in place before the foundations of the earth were made because God's God and he knew somebody was going to slip up. Listen, there are so many voices today, you couldn't count them if you started today. There's so many of them. You know what a lot of voices do? They bring confusion. But when you stay with the voice of the Holy Spirit and you stay with the Word of God, confusion, fear, doubt, and everything else will dissipate and leave. You always hear me say this. Don't try to figure out what God says to you. How many of you have ever been in a waiting room? Waiting room is a difficult place. But listen to me in the spirit realm. If you and I will stay in the waiting room, God will show himself to be true. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now listen to me. I had this plan for Sunday. I'm going to probably use it again, but I want you to understand that God has attributes, but the enemy has attributes. He is not a God. Say, Satan is not a God. People make him a God because they talk about him more than they talk about God. There's only one God, and that's the living God. You hearing me? Say, there's one God. That's it. Satan is boxed into time. He is not a spirit. You cannot box a spirit in. You are a spirit person, and you wear a flesh and blood body like I do. Nothing can box you in. What were we saying about revival, hun? The revival that's coming, and it's already happening, is outside the box. You know why? It's not happening in a cathedral. It's not happening in the largest church in the country. It's happening where people are hungry. Years ago, I remember something the Lord gave me was, Revival is if you stood somewhere and drew a circle around yourself. That's revival. Because when people get serious about God, God will revive your spirit, man, and cause you to excel like you can't believe. One preacher I heard saying this, and I was like, whoa. He said, a very large church right down a couple miles from where they preach, his church is. But he went and checked the, you know, the all the stuff about that church. And the pastor had something, listen, that he had to put it online. I don't believe the Bible is relevant for today. It's too ancient. And I tell people that whatever the Bible says isn't really true. How can I expect my young people to live by the Bible? I'm telling them there's things you can do and the Bible says you can't. I can't wait to get into that church. One thing you can be sure of, this preacher will preach out of the Word of God to the best of my ability. The Bible says, how will they know unless the preacher tells them? Fair enough? Remember we talked about faith? Faith, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, we had a discussion in our Thursday morning class, is the word of God rhema or logos? Let me help you out. Faith comes by hearing. Logos is not hearing. But logos will produce a rhema. Rhema. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the rhema of God. There it is. There's the rhema, but it's got to be spoken out of our mouth so we can hear it and others can hear it. That's why the preacher's up here today talking to you about the word, talking to you about faith, talking to you about time. Because so many times, all of us, the preachers included, God speaks to us about something and we wind up in time rather than in faith. You'll always wind up in time if you try to figure out what God has said to you and I. If God speaks to me, the first place I go, and the only place, right here, the Word of God. There are things God have said to me that I did not understand. Sometimes years later, still didn't understand it. Then God all of a sudden reveals. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, I want to be a minister. Well, if you pick up your Bible, you'll find out you already are. Some people think you got to be a minister, you got to have a pope in the church. A minister, remember years ago, you probably don't because you're not as old as I am, but they used to have a preacher, a parson, who would get on the back of that donkey or horse and go from one place to the other. What was he doing? Preaching the word. Did he have a church? Did he have a pulpit? His pulpit was anywhere his feet went down, he would tell people about Jesus. I helped somebody get a car last week. And when I sat in the finance office with the couple, they started witnessing to the finance guys. Oh, boy. Because they are genuinely soul winners. This guy's eyes were popping out of his head. He said, well, I'm Catholic. That doesn't matter. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? They would not let go of this guy until he would pray with them the sinner's prayer. You understand that? Everywhere you and I go, God has us as preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the enemy does not like that. He hates it. Fair enough? All right. Can I give you a couple attributes of I want to give you some of Satan's first. You don't mind? I didn't know which way to do this. I even asked Jamie. He said, Dad, I think put up some of the attributes of the devil. Say the devil. Now, is he a spirit? No. Is he equal with God? No. He's a created being. Now, listen, if you don't mind, some of the attributes of the devil. First of all, he's a liar. What does that mean? I'm gonna give you the answer. He's a liar. John 8:44 says what? Satan is a, and the father of all lies. There is no truth in him. That's why it's so important when Jesus said that you'll know the truth and the truth you know will set you free. The word of God, the Bible, is the only truth on the planet. It's the only truth on the planet. Let me try that again. It's the only truth you will find is on the planet. When I quoted that scripture before from Hebrews, and it says that sin consciousness has been removed. God doesn't have it for us. Do you and I have it? We could if we start talking about the past and how bad we were. What are we doing? We're stepping back in time. We're getting out of faith because what does the Word of God say? You don't have any sin. Over. But as soon as we start reflecting on some of the things, don't talk about your past. You don't have one. As soon as you and I talk about the past, then we are entering the time warp and we're stepping out of faith. Amen? All right, here's another one for you. He is a murderer. Where did murder come from? It came from the Garden of Eden when Cain was jealous of not what Abel gave, because God accepted his offering. And the Bible says sin crouched at the door of his heart. Let me tell you something. The enemy is looking real close to our words, what we say and what we do. The only way he can have access to our lives is we say something or do something, and then he takes that and jumps. He's waiting at the door, everybody's heart. But he can't have access to you. He doesn't have access to you. He can't get by the blood. He cannot touch you in any way. But he'll wait for us to make a mistake. All right? So what have we found out so far about Satan? He is a liar. He's the father of all lies. He's a murderer. But did he murder Abel? He found somebody because of what was in their heart, and he used them. Fair enough? Give you another one here now. Hang on now. He is a sower of discord. Where'd he get that from? The enemy doesn't have a creative mind, so he steals everything from God. What does the Bible say about sowing your seed? It's going to do what? If you sow a seed of love, let's say love, is it going to come back to you? He takes that word sow and puts it into his act, and he becomes a what? Sower of discord. But it can't touch me. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Where does fear come from? Because God doesn't give it to us, but he's looking for a place to drop it in. He wants to put fear in our heart. Remember, COVID brought fear to the entire globe. He was sowing discord through that thing. Am I right? He got in the hearts of people who meant well, but he brought discord between people. My friend Rodney Auerbaum, they put him in jail. Came to this country with, I think, $50. No, he had less than $200. He walked into the hotel, and the guy said, how will you pay for your room? And he goes, oh, boy. He's starting to say, okay, God, what are you going to do? I don't have any money. He said, oh, by the way, Reverend, this envelope came for you. Opened it up, credit card. Whatever your needs are, go ahead and use the credit card. You don't have to pay a penny. He left his homeland, came here, and established a ministry that's worldwide. How'd that happen? He didn't bother listening to time. He went step by step by faith. See, God can do anything. He can do anything. But he can only use men and women that will not listen to time or where the voice comes from that deals with time, because they walk by faith. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody get excited. I'm going to say this. I'm going to operate by faith from now on every step I get a chance. Here's another one for you. He's cunning, crafty. You got that one? Now let's jump over to a couple of the attributes of God. Can we do that? I like this one. He's a spirit. He's holy. He's never been touched by sin. God has, say this out loud, God has never been touched by sin. Hallelujah. I got a couple more here, then we'll break down. All right. He's eternal. This messes a whole bunch of people up. He's always existed. He's infinite. This is God now. He's infinite. Listen to this. Without limits. Satan has limits. God does not have limits. He can do what he wants, when he wants, and he wants to use us and get us involved in it. Say glory. All right, listen. Without limits, except when he has limited himself by his own word. Here's another one now. Omnipresent. Look at me, everybody. Say omnipresent. Everywhere at once. Do you understand that Jesus was limited in his earthly ministry because he'd only be in one place at one time. But God, the Holy Ghost, can be everywhere at the same time. That's cool. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here's another one for you. Wow. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. So if you and I have a question to ask, because we don't know which way to go, turn left, turn right, like Jonah when we talked about him a couple weeks ago. He found a way opposite of God's voice to go, and he thought, well, God left me an open door. No, he didn't. The enemy did. See, sometimes we'll see a door or a window open, and we'll say, well, God wouldn't have left it open if he, no. God knows your heart, and he knows you have faith. And if you operate in that arena, whatever somebody else says will never touch us. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Can I give you two more? All right, that sounds great. Here you go. He's omnipotent. He is almighty. Here's the last one I'm going to give you for tonight. He is truth. Say he's truth. He never, ever lies. He cannot lie. The Bible says he's not a man that he should what? Lie. Listen, has he not said, will he not do? Amen? Got that? Say, God is not a liar. He cannot lie. Can I give you two more? He's just. 100% fair in his actions with us. He's what? Just. The word justification, we'll get to it next week. It literally means this, just as if we never sinned. When God sees us, what does he see? He sees the beauty that he created you in. There's no sin consciousness. It doesn't come to his lips. Amen? I'm going to give you another one because you're so nice to me. Here we go, listen. He's righteous. That means he's totally good. Say totally good. I think I'm warming you up finally. Here we go now. He is actually life himself. Zoe life. Zoe kind of life. Listen, he isn't just alive. He is life. I'd like to see the enemy try to pull that one off. He can't. There is no comparison between the attributes of God and the attributes of a fallen angel. Don't talk about him like he's a God. Sometimes we do that by mistake. All right? Here's the last one, scripture verse, James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadowing or turning. See, if we live in the shadow of time instead of the shadow of faith, that verse isn't true for us. God, I believe you by faith, and look what happened. Then you don't know what faith is. You're making a decision based on time. God doesn't know time. He had to make time so he could redeem us by creating his son to come and die on the cross of Calvary. In the Garden of Eden, there was no time. Time came to rescue you and I. But God is not governed by time. He had to have time to reach out to us and put his only begotten son on planet Earth to die for you and I. Glory. You ever hear somebody say this to you? Stop wasting time. I don't have time to waste because I only have faith. I'm not going to waste faith either. Amen?